I was asked to bring a teaching and at the 3 o'clock, so it kind of threw me out a little bit because I more preach than teach, and so it's going to be a bit of a hodgepodge. And then I they left the topic open to me what to speak to you, and I labor because when you come into another man's ground, I don't know, you know, what sort of teaching you do. I don't tune into TSC. I'm very busy in my own work. So, and I asked the Lord, I said, what am I going to share with the folk? You know, what's there? And I couldn't resist. A burden in my heart, and I'm telling you even now, I just want to tell you, we are not going to win this battle with arguments. I just want to tell you right now, we are not going to push through the darkness that we see descending upon. I am appalled to see in less than 4 or 5 years this great country nearly at the verge of ripping itself apart, and friends, everything has gone so upside down, and it deserves a response from the church. But if the church keeps on with the same ingredients, friends, nothing's going to change. And I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul, and when these great manifestations start to break out in the New Testament church, the book of Joel tells us that it shall come to pass that afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And of course, that Holy Spirit fell in the first church. In Acts chapter 2, we saw the consequence of 120 believers that were cowering in fear for much of the storyline. Yet they had known the Savior. The 12 had walked with him for 3 years. Slept in the same quarters, had watched him walk on water, feed thousands of people. But then he'd give them cast iron assurances that I'm going to go, and it's imperative that I leave you because I'm going to send you another comforter. And it's amazing how we have drifted. In some way, the Holy Spirit has become the sort of mystery man to the church, the sort of mystery man of the Trinity, where we have rightfully preached of the glories of God and his love for humanity and the works of Christ at Calvary. But there is another sent to us, another comforter. He said, I will send you another comforter. The word another means another of the same kind. Just as you see me, it's another of the same kind. And he is with you, he said to the disciples, but soon he shall be in you. And you know, I began to ponder on the hour that we live in. You know, we live in a world today, friends, that we are very visually driven. We're driven by technique and technology. We're driven by argument. We're driven by, you know, the best of a natural mind. I want to tell you, it needs something more than a natural mind to break through the darkness around us. You see, the best of a natural mind is still only a natural mind. The Christian life is not a difficult life. It's an impossible life without the Holy Spirit. It is never meant to be lived without the power of the Holy Spirit. You dry up. It was a great preacher, Spurgeon, said, too much of the word and you dry up, and too much of the spirit and you blow up. Well, we need to start bringing it back into our economy. And the Apostle Paul, he opens up in chapter 12. There's many great scriptures that point to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 are two of the more epic ones that talk to us about that powerful gifts that God has given to his church. Because, friends, we live in a world that right around us now, whether we want to admit it or not, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. If you think your enemy is a political enemy, if you think that your enemy, friends, is someone of a political party or a diversity or a background, I want to tell you, that's not who your enemy is. We battle against, not against flesh and blood. Right around us in this auditorium, right around there in that world, outside in the atmosphere, in other dimensions, it's spiritual forces are at play and at work. And you know, friends, it comes a time where we have to come to spiritual maturity. I remember as a boy of 12 years of age, sitting in a Christian meeting, in a spirit-filled Christian meeting. Most of the congregation were my own family, 6 or 8, maybe 10 other adults there. And I remember for the first time sitting in a meeting at 12 years of age, a young man started to pray. He started to pray in the spirit, and he started to pray powerfully. And I'm sitting in my seat, nobody around me, nobody laid hands on me, nobody spoke to me. And all of a sudden, this mighty river begins to flow out of me, and I begin to speak in other tongues. Just as Jesus had promised, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul begins to see manifestations, because I want to tell you that God has got his manifestations, friends. God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And he says, he opens up chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Brothers, I would not have you ignorant. Ignorance is a terrible thing. Hosea says, because of a lack of knowledge, my people are perishing. And I want to tell you, friends, we need to bring back the Holy Spirit into our vocabulary and into our thought pattern. But it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. There's only one church, friends, one body, one Lord, one baptism. And our roots go right back to Acts chapter 2. The only church in this world is a Pentecostal church. The rest don't know it yet, but that's, we all go back to Pentecost, amen? The church is a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led body. And the Apostle Paul is writing all those years later to the Corinthian church, the church which he founded. Pastor Carter does an incredible series on the Corinthian, wrote a book on the Corinthian problem and spoke many messages on Corinth, but Corinth is really like a society of today. The church was very, very similar to the churches that we see around us. There was all forms of problems going on. It was a metropolitan center of trade and commerce, and with that came all the trappings of materialism, all the failures of the human flesh, marriages were falling apart, immorality was everywhere. Things were going on in the church because, friends, the church is just nothing other than a collection of men and women who are fallen and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And in that church, the Holy Spirit begins to move in power and in dynamics. You can imagine. I mean, they're just out there, friends. But the Apostle Paul, he founded that church. He wasn't with them all the time. He traveled up and down over seven years. And they're sitting in churches like us. And all of a sudden, God begins to move in power. Hallelujah. And manifestations start to break out. People begin to hear tongues, and people begin to see manifestations, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Miracles start to break out. You know, friends, you know, we are no better than they, and we are no worse than they. But what makes us powerful is the Holy Spirit. And I would not have you ignorant. It's a terrible thing, friends. Knowledge is important. If you don't know that something exists, you'll never reach for it. If you don't know the name of Jesus, you can never call upon him. Knowledge is important. It's important for the church to get back into its vocabulary, to get back into its pattern, to get back into what God would want it to be. How can they call upon him whom they have never heard? You have to know the name of Jesus before you can call upon him for salvation. If you don't know that something exists, you will never reach for it. You will never apprehend it. You will be ignorant of it. The apostle lays out order. He begins to speak to people as of this type of generation. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking in this, by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. And he says, there is diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now this is the word of God, friends. This is the will of God. This is what God wants to do in his church. Our answers, friends, are not going to be out of our own minds. Our answers to the dilemma is not just going to be an argument. The Apostle Paul said, I did not come to you with persuasive words and natural wisdoms, but I came in the power of Almighty God, with demonstrations of power. And I feel from the Lord simply today to provoke us again, to provoke our thinking, to provoke us, to maybe in some way that the salt will start to go on our mouths again and give us a thirst for the supernatural. That somehow here, men and women will see themselves no different than the Corinthian church. If God could do it with those ordinary folk, God can do it with us. You see, there's a time coming where he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh, my friends. Remember, you were Gentiles carried away to dumb idols. My goodness me, if there was ever a generation that was led away by dumb idols, it must be this generation. Everything from pop idol to American idol, and pop idol pastors and mega church preachers, amen. The church has its icons and its idols, friends. But we are commanded not to live this life in the power of our natural unction. Not in the flesh, not in the strength of our natural minds, friends, but by the Spirit of Almighty God. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. The enemy for too long has reduced the Christian salvation to just having sins forgiven. Praise God that our sins are forgiven. Amen. We must never downgrade the great attributes of salvation. But church, the problem is this. We have a generation of people who have heard that God can forgive sin, but are unconvinced that there is more to the picture than that. What I mean is that they hear about love and forgiveness, but they fail to see much of the supernatural keeping power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. Forgiveness of sin wasn't the only thing that was won at Calvary. The Holy Spirit was given to lead you into all truth. To unlock the power of God so that the church could live not just forgiven, friends, but live in victory. And victory is not just singing songs, friends. Victory is taking authority in the name of Jesus. Victory is speaking into the spirit world, friends. Victory is understanding the darkness that's around us and having the discernment of spirits and seeing what's at play and what we're really up against. Victory is sharpening that edge and sharpening that sword to find out who the real enemy is and go chase him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, there comes a time when the baby must grow. When I was a child, I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things behind us. Amen. See, there comes a time when the honeymoon is over and you now have to stand and fight Amalek. There comes a time when all of a sudden hope must rise in our hearts and belief and faith in the supernatural power of God that will manifest in every believer. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This is the word of the Lord. This is what God wants to do. This is what God wants to do in Times Square Church. I felt like weeping during the worship. When the Holy Spirit was putting in my heart, it's not true arguments. It's going to be men and women laying hold of the power of God. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be at the end, friends. That church started in power and it's going to finish in power. Amen. There will be a testimony. Men and women, little old men, little old women, educated, uneducated. It doesn't matter what part of society. If God was going to pour out that manifestation on a Corinthian church, friends, he will do it in a Times Square church. He will do it in New York. He will do it in America. And he will do it all over the world. There's a great story in 2 Kings, a great story you all know very well. Let me read it to you. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. I know you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditors are coming to take my two sons to be slaves. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me what to do. What have I to do to save your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Hallelujah. Nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in and shut the door behind you, you and your sons then pour it out into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went out from him, shut the door behind her, and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her sons, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is no other vessels. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons will live on the rest. We know very well, friends, that oil is a caricature of the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about this woman. This woman whose husband was a prophet and served the Lord, and he died. He left her. And she seems to be desolate, and she seems to be abandoned. And she comes to Elisha, a type of coming to God, and she says, I'm left with nothing. I'm left in debt. I'm left in trouble. And it doesn't sound right to Elisha. That doesn't sound like God. There's something wrong with that. God said, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And yet somewhere along that journey, she says, she comes to him and she lays hold of him. She said, I have nothing in my house. And he's scratching his head, there must be something. Well, there's a bit of oil. Hallelujah. There's a bit of oil. You see, she was ignorant. She was ignorant. And the church today, friends, is ignorant. There's oil in the house. I'm telling you, there's oil in your life. When you were born again, the Spirit of God came upon you and sealed you. The book of Corinthians tells us that he comes in and he inhabits your body. He lives in you. You become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Christian starts to look after themselves, and the cigarettes go and the alcohol go and the drugs go and all. Why? Because this becomes the temple for the Holy Spirit. And there's oil in the house. And you know, the ignorant part, this poor woman, like much of the church today, oh, we're in trouble. Our kids are in trouble. The creditors are everywhere. We are hard pressed in every side. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit has not abandoned his people. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will send you another comforter, an advocate, someone that will stand alongside you and defend you and fight for you. The power of God. The power of God manifesting himself through weak earthen vessels. For we have this treasure in the earthen vessel, Paul says, that the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. I want to tell you right there, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, is shining in your heart today. To bring the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you right now, friends, there is a stirring going on. Some here right now are understanding that the oil is in the house. They understand, oh my God, I'm saved. The Holy Spirit is here. There needs to be a dawning. All things are possible now. God is only looking for men and women that will step up and believe him. That will step in and say, God, you live inside me. You have promised manifestations that I can go out and fight the enemy in the power of your might. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not by might, not by power, friends, but by my spirit, says the Lord. My home is under attack. I've lost my husband. My children are astray. I've been to church all my life and God has abandoned me. No, friends, we heard that this morning. God has not abandoned you. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. You need to awaken your understanding, that the eyes of your understanding will be opened today. Amen. That men and women will be less ignorant and more focused upon what God says. In the end days, there's not a man or a woman in this auditorium or listening to this, wherever you're listening, doesn't realize the hour that we are coming into our end times, friends. But there is a power to be unleashed because the promises of God are yes and amen. I will pour out my spirit. Pour it out. What's in your house? Oil. The Apostle Paul says, stir up that gift that is in you from the laying on of my hands. Ask God, oh God, begin to stir my heart. Arouse my appetite again, oh God. Lift my eyes to heaven from where my strength will come. We're not just to be free from sin, friends. We are to be free and advancing the kingdom of God and sticking it to the devil and every demon of hell that's around our neighborhoods. For too long, we've been merely content to be saved and forgiven. For too many years, we have lost from our vocabulary and our experiences the manifestations of the Spirit of Almighty God. God is restoring it. I remember as a young teenager, the church that I was born again into was a spirit-filled church, but there was no other teenagers. So I eventually went over to a Baptist church for a period of time, not fellowshipping, just for youth meetings. They made me the youth leader of a Baptist church. Can you believe that? Pastor was a very, very good man. But I remember some of the leading elders would come up and they would look at me and they would kind of, in a sort of sarcastic way, and say, "What was all that babbling you do? Have you ever heard that sort of nonsense?" And I'm 14 years of age. I says, "I think this, all my babbling does exactly the same for me as it did for the Apostle Paul." Hallelujah. That babbling, as you call it, and you try to downgrade it, let me tell you, friends, it does for me what it did for him. "And I, more than all of you, speak in tongues," he said. There is something in the arsenal of God. If you have not experienced that outpouring, that infilling and that outpouring of the Spirit, friends, let me tell you, it is within you. The oil is in the house. There needs to be a pouring out of that oil. There needs to be an expression of that. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. He spoke this of the Holy Spirit. And I remember as that boy of 12 years of age sitting in that meeting, gripped with God, and this young man started to pray, such a powerful prayer. And I began to get animated in myself. I was excited about the prayer because it was so powerful. It lifted my faith. And all of a sudden I began to speak in tongues. And I was a very shy kid at the time. I didn't want anyone to hear, but I couldn't stop. 12 years of age. And everything's coming to my head. "Oh, that's just you. What will your parents think? They know you're not the most best boy. Your room isn't always clean. You thump your brother every now and again. And you beat up your sister's dollies and all that." And all this nonsense is going through my head at 12 years of age. But I couldn't stop it, friends, because out of my innermost being, a spiritual language began to flow. For the first time as a Christian, I began to vocalize something that was far deeper than words could give me. Uttering things in the Spirit, friends, that my mind couldn't even comprehend. A river broke, a dam broke. I began to pray back to God things that he would be putting into me, speaking by the Spirit. That's what Paul says it is. When a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks to God mysteries. That's the greatest prayer. For the Christian men and women to come back to praying in the Spirit. "Oh, ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Begin to speak yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Friends, it's not just about an intellectual concept of prayer. "Dear Papa who is in heaven, we thank thee today." Friends, that's wonderful, but there's something deeper than that. There is an unlocking of the power of God. The Old Testament word for the Spirit of the Holy Spirit was Ruach. It meant that violent, powerful presence of the pneumatic of God, the wind of God. And that's why Jesus said, it actually meant force. A New Testament word is dynamite, dunamis. And that's why Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been dunamis, are forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. What the word force is, the Holy Spirit. From the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom has been moving by the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit men lay hold of it. That's what it means. This is not a theory. This is not some argument that we just hold to on a Sunday morning, friends. There is a life to be manifested in the workplace. I said there's a life to be manifested. We have to start putting up our spiritual antenna. We have to be listening to the Spirit of God. We need to be praying again. "Oh God, look at these gifts, wisdom, words of knowledge." You know, friends, they don't need to be confined to Times Square Church. You have a word of knowledge. First word of knowledge I read in Acts. It was when a man called Ananias, who wasn't in a church setting, says, God gave him a knowledge. Go to a street called Straight. Go to the house of a man called Judas. And in there, you're going to find a guy called Saul of Tarsus. And you're going to pray over him. And he's going to receive his sight. I believe with all my heart that the gifts of the Spirit are going to get revived, friends. And it's not going to be just standing up in the church and having this word for this. It's going to be out in the workplace. "God's given me a word for you. God has shown me something about your life. God's going to start imparting wisdoms that are above our natural ability, above our educational standard. Do you understand? Like out of the mouth of babes, when he said to them in John 16, you're not to worry about what you're going to say in that day, for I will give you wisdom, I will give you words to speak that are way above you. That's the Holy Spirit, friends. That's the wisdom of God. Working of miracles. Gifts of healing. Do we want to see gifts of healing? Do we want men and women to really start laying hold of the word of God and the promises of God? That we're not just coming in with some sort of fake argument here, friends. There's going to be a demonstration of the Spirit and the presence and power of Almighty God in this generation. The most unlikely suspects in our church. The most unlikely ones. Not many of you are from noble backgrounds. Not many of you are from high education or high strata society. But God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The wisdom of God is greater than the wisdom of men, friends. And so if you can sit here and be provoked by the Spirit of God and say, God, I want more because there is more. Jesus said, don't be feared. He said, don't fear these things. Which one of you fathers, if your son was to come and ask him for a fish, would give him a serpent, or ask him for bread, would give him a stone? How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Can we get it back into our vocabulary to ask? Can we get it back into our economy to believe? Can we move, friends? You know, even the great covenant of grace, the new covenant we teach, was never meant to be unhitched from the power of God. When you take the covenant of grace, the Christian covenant, the eternal covenant, and you unhitch it from the power of God, friends, I'm telling you, there is very little power in that. It was never meant to be unhitched. It was a complete package. It was all together, friends. That first church demonstrated, moved in, and it wasn't just the high-end people. It was everybody. It was happening so much that they had to bring order to it. That's what Paul is writing in. Isn't that amazing? Much better to have to guide the river than pump it up out of the ground. Would you agree with me? I'm telling you, Pastor, imagine having the dilemma here of having to control, you know, an orderly sense of what God is doing because men and women are touching something and maybe because in their infant state of working with the Spirit are manifesting a little bit left and a little bit right. And who cares? I would rather have that than have nothing. Amen. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you is, be ready to make a mistake and don't worry about it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Don't be wanting to get everything right. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, I was 12. I could have stopped. When I felt that sense of the Spirit come upon me and I wanted to speak in tongues, everything in my natural mind came against me and said, that's just you. That's just you. And I just felt out of my innermost being and I began to speak Shamba. And when the dam broke, the first words, it was like the dam breaking. Once those three or four words moved, friends, it just went shh. Like a mighty rushing wind. It just, that's 38 years ago. I was 50 this Christmas. 38 years I've been speaking in other tongues. When the darkness got so bad, when mental traumas were so difficult in life, when sometimes the darkness is so dark you couldn't even think of a way through your problems. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been as a Christian and said, I just don't know how I'm going to get through this? I have no words. I couldn't even put words together. I couldn't even put concepts together. But I had that inner witness of the Spirit where I begin to speak in new tongues. And the Apostle Paul says that begins to edify and build you up. Hallelujah. This is God's economy for you. He knew that we would be attacked on every side. And so he sent us the Holy Spirit and all his gifts so that the kingdom would be advanced. So that even in your worst day, you would not be relegated to a place of barrenness, friends. No, that you would be a tree, the planting of the Lord, that bears its fruit in season. And whatever you do, even in the dullest of days, you will blossom. Hallelujah. You would blossom. The manner of your confidence would be seen by all. Oh God, help us to restore again to our vocabulary and our experiences the manifestation of the Spirit of Almighty God. God, forgive us for steering so close to an intellect-only gospel and not humbling ourselves and chastening our natural mind to be infused with the mind of the Spirit. You see, friends, the global war that is descending on us will not retreat with doctrinal statements. I've said this already, but I have to say it again. Our doctrine, even the acceptance of the covenant of grace, is not to be unhitched from the power of the Holy Spirit. Second Kings, that woman is the church. You know that, of course. Elisha is a type of God the Father. And she's going in desperation saying, this isn't happening. I'm left barren. Have you ever felt like you're left barren? I remember reading about a story about some guy. He observed a situation on the freeway. This man's car broke down. And the car pulled in and he's getting outside of the car and he's kicking the tires and he's slapping on the hood and he's going to try to hitch a ride and nobody's stopping. And he's shouting out all these explanatives, waving his fist in rage as people go by, and he goes around, he kicks the car again, hits the hood, hits the boot, all yeah, trunk, you call it. And eventually he pulled up his car and he came alongside. He says, "Hey, mister, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with your car?" He says, "This stupid car has let me down so often. It's just let me down." He said, what? "It's ran out of petrol, diesel, or gas." And he said, "And that's the car's fault?" And how many of us in our Christian experience, when the Holy Spirit leads us to Christ, who is our vehicle of transport, and somewhere along that journey, friends, instead of putting gas into the tank, we just abdicate that. We leave it be and we find ourselves just like him, stopped at the side of the road, watching all these other ones go by. How frustrating is that? And as they're moving on, I want to tell you, there is an abundance in Christ. You don't need to be stopped at any side of any road, friends. There is enough oil for you. That cruise of oil will never run out for you. The oil of the Spirit that is in your life, God is wanting to bless you with something far greater. Hallelujah. God is wanting to bring to you, friends, that manifestation that the first church saw so naturally. See, it's not about being super spiritual. It's about being naturally spiritual. It should be something that's so settled in our minds that God, the Holy Spirit, is still God. He's still with his church. He has never withdrawn. He has never disappeared. He hasn't evaporated. The problem is that we've become so earthly minded that we forget that there is something given to us, someone who's given to us and is wanting to manifest himself in every life. Hallelujah. It gives me hope. It's the only hope that we see a church return back again to Pentecost. It gives me hope that God is stirring. And I'm telling you, it's not just stirring here. It's a message that's starting to go out, friends, to the church. The covenant of grace has restored us to that great position of place. But there is an hour where he is now restoring again the Holy Ghost to his church. The power of the Holy Spirit. The apostle lays out the order. And I really did struggle coming in today because it's such a wide topic, the indispensable gifts and ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's so many gifts, 9 gifts of the Spirit. There's ministry gifts there that Paul begins to talk and lay out order for. But I'm not really here to do that today. My mandate from God is to provoke you to begin to believe and manifest and reach for and bring back into your mind, bring back into your economy, to be back into your prayer life, to focus that it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit. Stir up the Spirit that is within you from the laying on of hands, friends. Begin to stir up that Spirit that came upon you all those years ago when you first received the light, amen. Begin to stir up that Spirit that when that man or that woman prophesied over you and years went by and things became dormant in your spiritual life and you said it's not going to happen, I want to tell you, friends, it's going to happen because God is faithful. Amen. God is going to raise his church, raise his people, raise our eyes, lift our hopes. Jesus will never leave you. Desire, the apostle says, the greatest of these gifts. Desire them. You know, it's not for the sake of the gifts in themselves. The desire is to see men and women one to the kingdom. And in that process, we need everything that God has for us. If we could educate people into the kingdom, we would have done it years ago, friends. If we could have preached them in just with the word, we would have done it. We've had some of the finest preachers and preachings and that have come from this pulpit, touched all over the world, but there is a dynamic that is purely of the Spirit of Almighty God. Now the question is this: are you ready to reach for it? That's the question. There comes a time of broke, doesn't there? There comes a time where you have to move forward. And you know, the minute we hear that, and I'm telling you, this is the Spirit of God. The very minute you hear this, there's this reticence that comes in, this little bit of fear that comes in. There's this sense that God won't make the cut for you. That it won't. I want to tell you right now, it will happen for you. God is wanting to show himself great in you and through you. What a thought. Who wants it? I ask, before you put your hand up, please, who wants it? Who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Who wants to have what the church is meant to have? A manifestation of the power of God. Or are you just happy enough to be born again? That's wonderful, you're going to heaven. But do you know that the only way to see this world won is going to be through the power of the Holy Ghost? Do you want it? Do you desire it? Well, we are going to bring this to a close shortly because I want for us to come together as a body and begin to inquire of God and begin to now move forward from a conversation into a reality. Right now, the enemy is speaking to some, saying, it's not going to happen for you. I want to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. If you have a negative thought about this in your mind, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Take every thought captive and bring it to subjection to him. Amen. But I need you to close your eyes for a moment, friends. And I want you to examine your hearts just for a couple of moments. It's not going to be the pop pastor and the pop idol. It's not going to be the mega preachers. It's going to be men and women like you and me, full of God, full of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that God is going to baptize some here today? You're going to speak in new tongues for the first time. I know that because I know that's what God wants to do. You know, there's some here inside you is going to be words of knowledge and words of wisdom. God's going to start moving you in a new direction. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to get it wrong a little bit from time to time, but you've got great leaders around you that will help you, right? We prophesy in part, we know in part. You know, some here are going to take the adventurous route of going praying for the sick. Hallelujah. We got a couple of thousand people in the house today. Every man and every woman here, if we were to rise up from this service today and begin to walk out of Times Square Church and begin to lay hold of God and begin to speak in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit and lay hands upon sick people, and when we are confronted with situations that are above us, to begin to believe God for wisdom in the circumstance, for knowledge in the circumstance, to believe God for miracles, to believe God for discerning what's right and wrong in the hour that we live in, that we would start to permeate this entire city and this entire nation for the Lord. If God could turn Jerusalem upside down with 120 spirit-filled men and women, that when they left that upper room, friends, they went into the marketplace. Josephus says there's nearly 1 million people were gathered in for the feast at that time. 1 million people, and thousands get quickened in their heart because they went out and they started to speak in the Spirit. Now, I'm going to ask you to keep your eyes closed for a moment because this is a solemn time between you and the Lord, because there comes a time of actually moving away from unbelief and stretching forward in faith. Stretch forward in faith. Hallelujah. just stand with me right across the church. Stand with me. Brothers and sisters, stand and let's just call upon the Lord. I want you to come. We're going to pray at an altar for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite you to come to an altar. There's going to be people here, there's elders here, there's men and women that can pray with you. But we're going to start praying and believing God for a revival of the gifts of the Spirit in the body of Times Square Church. Amen. We're going to take the ambitious step of faith. We're going to push through just having an intellect-only gospel. And we're going to believe the Holy Spirit to come upon us as He wants to, as He must do. Arguments are not enough, friends. They'll never be enough. What's needed is the Spirit of Almighty God. Just as the musicians come and play, I just want you to come, leave your seats. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you've never spoken tongues, you run to this altar. If you're a Christian that has been baptized in the Spirit, but you need a refilling. The Bible says, be being filled with the Spirit. You need to come, friends, because God wants to bless you. God wants to pour out Himself upon you. I've seen this in my own church. I've seen this with men and women that have been a long time in Pentecost, friends, and somehow become sort of theoretical about it and have lost that edge in their spiritual manifestation. But now it is the time we understand is dark. Now the light has to be relit again. Hallelujah. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. 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 Please come. Please come. Let's collectively lift up our voice to heaven. Hallelujah. The oil is in the house. The Holy Spirit is here. He's in your life. He lives within you. You're born again. But you need to get some more fuel for the motor, friends. You need to let that abundance of heaven just flow upon you and in you and through you. Hallelujah. Now begin to speak to God just in your ordinary words. Just begin to request of God to move upon you. Ask Him to move upon you. Request it of Him. Say, oh God, I believe You're here, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And if you've never spoken tongues before, you can start right now because you feel it in your spirit. It doesn't come from your head. It comes from your innermost being. It comes from your belly. It comes from like deep within. It comes from here, friends. And don't stand there and keep your mouth closed. Open your mouth before the Lord. Amen. Just open it. Don't let any artificial barrier of your muscles stop what God was wanting to do. Amen. And cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And cooperate with the Word of God. And listen to what the Lord is saying to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now begin to pray in the Spirit. Begin to pray in tongues. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, working of miracles, signs and wonders, oh God. Speaking in tongues, the gift of tongues, prophecy, discerning of the spirits. Birth it in your congregation, oh God. Lord God, we will leave here today, Lord, we will manifest by the grace of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Begin to prophesy out. Doesn't matter, doesn't hear you. God is going to put in, it's going to God. Tell God the truths that are in your heart by the Spirit of God. Speak them to heaven. Speak them into the spiritual world. Speak them to God. Speak them back to God. Speak mysteries to Him. Hallelujah. Speak mysteries to God. Pour out your heart to Him. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Have your way. We yield to you. We defer to you. We defer to you. We defer to you. We defer to you, oh God. Have your way, Lord God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, that the manifestation of the Spirit be given to each one for the profit of all. Let the manifestation of the Spirit be given to each one for the profit of all. Let one be given a word of wisdom even now, Lord, to the Spirit. Another word of knowledge to the same Spirit. Another faith by the same Spirit. Another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another different kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Even now, Holy Spirit, as our hearts are open to Thee, magnify the Lord through our lives. Magnify the glory of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Bashiva, na. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't stop. Don't quench the Spirit. Let God take control. Amen. You belong to the Lord. He's not going to give you anything wrong. He's going to give you His Spirit. The Apostle Paul says, desire. Ask. Tell the Lord what you're desiring. What are you desiring? What gift are you desiring? Ask God for it. Ask God. Be specific now. Be specific. Say, oh God, give me the discernment of spirits. God, give me wisdom. Lord, give me words of knowledge. Lord, give me the ability, Lord, to be used by the Spirit for the working of miracles. Ask Him for it. Ask Him. How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You have not because you ask not. Ask Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Speak in tongues. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak yourself in psalms and miracles. Psalms. Hallelujah. Right now, Lord, touch your Lord. Fill it with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Fill it with the Holy Ghost. Bushibara bara kira bara nanda shira bara. Hallelujah. Jesus. Can I just say to our choir, brothers and sisters, in a choir, you minister every week. You sing every week. But you need a freshness of the Spirit upon you. Amen. Right now, raise your hands and believe God to begin to pour Himself out more powerfully, that the glory of the latter will be greater than the former. Amen. That there will be a greater manifestation of life through your worship. That you will not just be singers, that you will be men and women of the Spirit. Amen. You will carry the same Spirit as Pastor Connor does and any other pastor here. God will use you to pray for the sick and see them to recover. Amen. And God will use you to go to the workplace. God will use you to go to the marketplace, and God will use you to go to your families and bring the very healing balm of Gilead. That's the Holy Ghost, the oil of the Spirit. Begin to open up your hearts, open up your minds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to fill you. God is filling you. God is filling you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Our precious musicians. God will fill you again. You're giving all the time. You're giving all the time. The Holy Spirit of God. All the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's easy to hide behind the instruments. I know I'm a musician. But God wants to do something powerful in you, men. I sit over there and I watch you and I come in. You so beautifully bring us into worship. But friends, you're more than musicians. You're men of God. The Spirit of God wants to arrest you. Manifest himself through. I am speaking by the Spirit of God. I've been burdened for you guys. Not just musicians. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. You're wonderful. You're naturally gifted. But we need that spiritual presence and power to fill everything that we're doing. Hallelujah. Right now, each musician, just stop your play for a moment. You can keep going, but just these guys. Close your eyes where you stand, gentlemen. I want you to pray for our musicians in Times Square Church. Amen. I'm a musician. I know it's easy to hide behind an instrument, even though they do a great job, because God was wanting to pour himself. When there's no stage on, friends, when there's no music on, when there's no Times Square Church on, you're out there in that world, and God wants to manifest himself through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're going to start going to people and praying for them, and they're going to get healed. You're going to go to very difficult situations, and God is going to give you words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits. I pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless these precious, precious brothers and sisters here, Lord God, and fill them with the Spirit. Hallelujah. A fresh filling, a fresh anointing, a fresh sense of your presence. God, may every one of them experience a freshness. Oh, hallelujah. A fresh moving of God. Fresh wind and fresh fire, Lord. God, that they will see, Lord, a moving and an extending of the kingdom in them and through them in the name of Jesus. For every usher in the house, our ushers, we love you here at Times Square Church. Every one of you that guide the people in and watch us and care for us, I'm going to pray right now that the presence of God begins to fill you. Because you watch on and you help everybody in the body come here. Every one of you gold coats, I want to pray for you right now. Will you pray for them as well, that the presence of God will fill them, that they will be full of the Holy Ghost? Now lift your hands into heaven and begin to pray for our ushers at Times Square Church, that God will just so fill them. Baptize them afresh. Baptize them afresh. Come on, call out for them, friends. It's amazing when you call out for somebody else, somehow God meets your need. Amen. I want you to pray for the pastors and our elders at Times Square Church, because I'm telling you, friends, it's not just by persuasive words. We got godly men and women on the team, but they need a touch from heaven. They need that power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now pray for your leaders and say, God, touch them with power. It's amazing when you pray for the power for them, God's going to put power on you. That's how it works. Begin to pray collectively for the body. Lord, bless these men. Bless them in the battle, oh God. Strengthen them for the hour ahead, oh God. You have no idea what these men are going to face, friends. They need the power of the Holy Spirit. Now you need to pray that. Pray it now for them. Hallelujah. Pray for protection over this house. That anybody that comes in and tries to take the sword to God's people will be struck, friends, struck by the conviction of the Spirit. Struck to the very heart. That no weapon that's formed against you will prosper. Hallelujah. No weapon. Hallelujah. God, provoke me for more. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Friends, it is moving right now. The presence of God is here. Now, I want you to listen to me before we come and worship one last time. What are you desiring? Let me read them to you again. And as the Holy Spirit quickens this to you, I want you to ask God for this gift, whatever the gift is. I've got to read the gifts to you again. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit or the edification of everybody. For one is given the word of wisdom. Someone here is hearing that in their heart, and you're to ask God for the word of wisdom. To the same Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. Where God would give you a knowledge that is you could not possibly know or understand except God would give it to you. He gives it to you for a purpose. For His glory, to reveal His glory, to bring glory to His name. To another, faith. Faith, friends, where you can believe God for something incredible. That you could be the one in the house group that has an unshakable faith in the provision and power and keeping of Almighty God. A faith that can move mountains, friends. A faith that can push back darkness. A faith that can stand in the midst of turbulence. When others might be cowering, that your faith will hold and be strong. A dynamic faith, friends, that could move and advance the kingdom of God. Not saving faith, you're saved already. It's a different sort of faith. It's an ever-increasing faith that God gives you. It's a gift. You want to pray for that gift right now? If that's you, pray for that gift. Gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. When's the last time you've prayed for someone that's sick? Is God speaking healing for you? Close your eyes and say, oh God, I receive that gift. I desire that gift. I desire to be used, Lord, in the supernatural and healings. Working of miracles. Prophecy, which is speaking forth the word of God under the anointing, the power of God. It's like preaching. Do you understand? It's telling forth as much as foretelling, that you would speak and your words wouldn't fall to the ground. Do you want to ask God for that today? Hallelujah. Discerning of spirits. Do you want to know what's really going on in this world so that you can pray intelligently? Pray in line with the Spirit. Ask God for discernment. Discernment of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. If you're not speaking in tongues, I want to pray specifically for you. Lift your hand if you're not filled, if you're not speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, lift your hand. I want to pray for you right here. If you don't speak in tongues, just raise your hand. Only the hands. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm coming to a close, but I feel in my heart we have to pray for this for you. The reason I'm praying this is because it's very endearing to me, because when I got baptized in the Spirit and began to speak at 12 years of age, it has been a source of great power and strength in my own experience. And I don't know how I could have got through without it. Amen. Hallelujah. You see the hands that are lifted up around you? Would you just put a hand on the shoulder of that person? Would you put a hand on that shoulder and join with me and begin to pray for them? Now, beloved, those of you with your hands raised up, I want you to look at me now just for a moment. You're going to speak what's in here. Do you understand? You're going to speak what's in here. Switch off everybody else. Switch off the world around you and let what God is doing in here flow from you. Close your eyes. Don't worry about anyone now. In the name of Jesus, speak. It's in you. Let it out. It's in you. You can let it out. You can, right now, you can leave it out. You can. Hallelujah. Right now, those first couple of words will be like a dam breaking. Amen. It's going to be like a dam breaking in you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Come on. You can push through. It's there. You're already there. Hallelujah. You're not going to get this wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Right from here, sir. Right from here. Start praying it out. Start speaking it out. Start praying in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Right now, start speaking it out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now. Start praying. Just start praying. Just start praying. Pray it out. Pray it out. Pray it out, sister. Pray it out. God's touching you. Pray it out. Pray it out. Hallelujah. Pray out in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even now, begin to pray. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit's living in you. He's living in you. Hallelujah. Begin to pray now. Begin to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. That's right. Keep on praying. You're right. You got it. That's right. You have it now. Just keep on praying, because that's the dam breaking. You're true now. Hallelujah. You are true. I can see it. You're true. Hallelujah. Give him praise now. Thank him. Keep praying in the Spirit. Keep praying those words. God will give you more. It will flow like a river. You won't be able to shut it up, I'm telling you. Going home in the subway tonight, you're going to be praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Building up yourself. Hallelujah. Pray it out in the name of Jesus. Well done. Don't stop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord of my soul. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord of my soul. Is all over Times Square Church, friends. Ordinary men and women are speaking in tongues. Ordinary men and women are getting filled with the Spirit. Give him praise now. Lift up your hands and praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Hallelujah. I went home in my car, 12 years of age. And the enemy came against me and he said, that was just all you. 38 years later, friends, the Holy Spirit is still speaking through me, still manifesting his life. And I want to tell you what God is doing today. Safeguard that deposit. Let no one rob you with the deceitfulness of their words. You know the presence of God. You know the power of God. And when you've asked him, he has come and he's manifesting himself. And I want to tell you, when you go home, you pray in the Spirit. It is the most perfect prayer you can ever pray, because it's from the Spirit, you understand? We don't know, we don't understand these things. We speak mysteries, but we build ourselves up. In my darkest days, friends, when I couldn't pray intellectually with my mind, I would just pray in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I found a strength come upon me that I didn't have. And that's what God needs. That's what you need. God wants to give it to you because you're going to need that. Because dark days are coming where you have no ability to see through. But when you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up, amen. And when you're built up in God, then faith can grow and you can reach out for greater manifestation. greater manifestation of the glory of God. Something is happening. I've got to hand back to Pastor Carter. I think I've gone way over time, but I want to tell you, God is doing something in you. God is doing something in you. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Bless us, Lord.